Well, why don't you turn your Bible tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. May we pray. Lord, tonight we thank you for the opportunity we have to come and worship in spirit and in truth. And Lord, this evening we acknowledge our sinfulness before you. We ask you tonight, dear Lord, to forgive us of all those things we fall short in. We ask you tonight, dear Lord, that we might lift up and magnify and glorify thy Son. We ask you tonight, dear Lord, that as we leave this place, we'll love you a lot more, be drawn closer to you. And Father, tonight we'll be a better witness for you and a better light shining in this world of darkness, that people might see Jesus Christ in us and that he might be lifted up and they might be drawn to him. In his wonderful holy name I pray. Amen and amen. Several years ago, I went to a black church. One Monday morning, they had reported a break-in and had a bunch of equipment had been stolen, and so they wanted somebody to come and give them an estimate of what it would cost to replace it for the insurance purposes. So I went out and I was talking to them and gave them the estimate. And I asked the lady, I said, y'all have a good service yesterday? And she said, man. She said the spirit was bouncing off the walls. And the old pastor was sitting in his office, and he leaned out and said, yeah, and one of them evil spirits stayed and stole our stuff. You know, tonight sometimes I think we do forget about a great necessity in the Christian life and a great necessity in the life of a church, and that tonight is the Holy Spirit. How important he is in our lives, and how important he is in the lives of collectively of us as a church this evening. In the book of John, the Lord Jesus said that he wouldn't leave us orphanless, that he would send the Holy Spirit. In the latter part of John, after the crucifixion, as he appeared unto his disciples after his resurrection, he breathed on them and told them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was given to them this evening that they might become witnesses of him in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. And so tonight, the Holy Spirit tonight is important in our lives. You see, this evening when as we become Christians, and the way we become Christians is, first of all, we are convicted by the Holy Spirit. We hear God's word, and we hear tonight the gospel. And the Holy Spirit tonight convicts us of the truth of that gospel tonight. The Bible says in the book of Acts, as the disciples were scattered from Jerusalem, and as they went forth preaching the Lord Jesus, the hand of the Lord was with them. And that's what we need tonight. We need to preach the Lord Jesus. That's the responsibility of the church. That's the responsibility tonight that God has given to us in the Great Commission. That's the responsibility we have to be witnesses and testifiers of him this evening, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Thank God tonight we're sending the gospel out through these shoeboxes at Christmas time. And all of that's great, and we should do that. That's our responsibility. But there's something else we really need tonight, and we have to have for that to become effective. The hand of the Lord has to be with us. That's the Holy Spirit taking that message and digging deep into the hearts and the lives of individuals tonight and showing them the truth of the Word of God, showing them tonight the truth about sin and about righteousness and about judgment. And when we become Christians tonight, it's because that we heard the gospel and then we were convicted by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. We're convinced by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that convinces us of the truth of God's word. You know, as you study the Bible, And as Jesus was talking to his disciples the night before his crucifixion, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit, he said, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. And I think that compasses many different areas of the disciples' lives. I think one thing tonight that it compassed was those that wrote the Word of God tonight were guided by the Holy Spirit tonight. They spake as the Holy Ghost moved them. I believe also tonight it teaches us tonight that we are tonight guided into the truth by the Word of God. No debate. No showmanship. If I have to bribe and have to debate, all of that is worth nothing. The one thing tonight that can bring the truth to men and women and boys and girls is the Holy Spirit of God. I'm convinced tonight that if we give them the Scripture, if we give them the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will use that. And that's what God is saying when he says, my word will not return unto me void. Many times we might not see great results tonight. We might not even see the results that we would have tonight or we would want. But God's word never returns void. He uses it tonight in hearts and lives this evening. That's the work of God tonight, the work of the Holy Spirit. We're saved, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. He comes to live and dwell within us. One reason tonight we can never be lost again is because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's a passage of scripture over in the book of Matthew where Jesus talks about when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, how that he walks to and fro and he moves around, and finally he comes back to the man and he finds his house cleaned and garnished, and he moves back in and brings seven other spirits worse than himself. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's an ideal picture tonight of reformation, of somebody that cleans up their act, of somebody tonight that reforms and tonight turns over a new leaf. But then a few days, a few weeks, a few years go by, and suddenly all of that means nothing. You see, it doesn't happen to the Christian tonight because when the unclean spirit is driven out by the Holy Spirit, he comes to dwell within. And how greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We can't be overcome again by the evil spirit because the Holy Spirit tonight is more powerful. That's indwelling of the Holy Spirit tonight. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit. Don't let that scare you. It doesn't mean what a lot of people think it means. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse number 11, for by one spirit we're baptized into one body. We become one together with the Lord Jesus. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, placing us in the body tonight. That's his job. That's his work. I had a Bible teacher one time that believed only Baptists were in the body. Believed only Baptists were in the bride tonight. I call them Baptist briders many times. And they believe only the Baptists are part of the bride. And other people will be saved, but they'll not be the elite in heaven. They'll not be part of the bride. And so I simply ask him this question. What about 1 Corinthians 12, 11? For by one spirit we're all, A-W-L-L, all baptized into one body. And his response to me was very simple. He said, that verse always gives me trouble. And I said, yeah, it does, doesn't it? Because it's the Holy Spirit tonight. He's not picking out a Baptist. He's not picking out a Presbyterian or a Lutheran. Tonight he's picking out that one that truly and sincerely believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of his sins and come to the Lord tonight in repentance and faith. And that he baptizes and places them in the body of Christ. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last Sunday evening. God's seal is placed upon us by the Holy Spirit of God. He seals us tonight. All of those things tonight are automatic. That's God's work. That's God's responsibility tonight. That's what God does with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But you know tonight, strange as it might seem, there are some things that we can do. There are some things that you and I, as God's people tonight, can do with the Holy Spirit. And Paul, here in the book of Ephesians, chapters 4 and 5, tells us two of those things, and we're going to look at one more this evening. There are three things tonight that I want you to see you can do and I can do to the Holy Spirit. In chapter number 5 and verse number 18, he gives us a very well-known thing we can do with the Holy Spirit. He said, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. Now what does that mean? What does it mean tonight if we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Does it mean tonight that we talk in a language nobody understands? Does it mean tonight that we perform miracles and healings? Does it mean tonight that we become rich and famous? No. The word filled tonight is tonight a word that we need to understand. It means tonight it's we're full up. Now understand this tonight. Before I go any further, to make sure we get this on the right page. You and I and every one of God's children have all the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get. There's no second blessing. There's no half spirit dwelling within you. No three-quarter spirit dwelling within you. You've got every bit of the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. What we need to realize is what Paul is saying here is, does the Holy Spirit have all of us tonight? Filled, controlled by. The Holy Spirit is the controlling factor in our life tonight. He talks about here, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. You know, a drunken man is under the influence of the beverage that he's been drinking. He is controlled by that beverage that he's been drinking. It should never excuse the crimes that he's committed. It does not excuse the things that he does, but understand this. He's under that influence. He's controlled by that tonight. Many people do things when they're intoxicated that they would not do at other times. I'm sure you've known people that way. Could be as fine a people as you've ever seen, and they get intoxicated and they do 180 degrees. They can be mean and ornery and all of these other things. What's happening? They're now controlled. And you see, Paul is saying we have to be controlled. Our actions, our lives, the things that we do are now under the control of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. We're controlled by that. That's what guides us and directs us this evening. So many times we want to go on to our own tangents. We want to control our own destiny. We want to sail our own ship. But we ought to be filled with the Spirit. We ought to allow the Holy Spirit to be the controlling force in our life because He'll never guide us wrong. Understand that. He will never guide you wrong. He'll never lead you into sin. He will never tonight lead you into doing something wrong tonight. He says in verse 19, I kind of like this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're controlled by the Spirit of the Lord. The things that we do in our life tonight, we allow Him to make our decisions. We allow Him tonight to do those things for us. We're controlled by that. And that's our responsibility. You see, we're going to talk about two other things in just a moment, and you can see the difference. And that's your responsibility and my responsibility. I just submit myself to the Holy Spirit of the Lord and say, God, here am I. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? Lord, guide my life day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. That's what it means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean tonight that we do all of those things many people want to confuse it with. Does not have anything to do tonight with so many things that people want to look at externally and have what's going on in my heart and your heart. You see, we're controlled by that Holy Spirit of God. We're filled with the Spirit. Pretty simple when you really begin to think about it. It's not me getting more of the Spirit. It's allowing the Spirit to have all of me tonight. Does the Spirit have all of you? You know, we oftentimes slip, and I'm sure we all make those things. But before we make decisions, before we do things that we do in our lives, are we being obedient to God and to His Word tonight? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in the direction that He wants us to go? One thing we always have to do as a church, we have to make sure that the direction that we're going is controlled and determined by God's Spirit tonight. Now listen to me carefully. I believe this is one place that churches get into so much trouble, because the Spirit of God will never, never, never direct a church or an individual to go in a way that's contrary to the Word of God. And when we begin to think that we're smarter than the Lord, when we begin to try to build church buildings with people instead of simply magnifying the Lord and preaching the gospel, you see, we're going in our own direction. Many people tonight are doing so many things to fill pews in churches. And I'm nothing against tonight people attending church. But I've grown through the years to realize the old country preacher when he said that preaching and praying and the power of God, when it gets beyond that, it's not worth anything anyway. When we preach the gospel and rely upon the power of God, we pray tonight and submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and we're directed by Him, great things will always happen. We might not see it externally, but we'll always know that God knows tonight. We're to be controlled, filled with the Spirit. But then in verse number 30 of chapter number 4, he tells us something else we can do. And he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We're not to grieve the Spirit. There's one thing I've told you, and I want, if you never remember anything I've ever told you through the years, remember this one simple little thought. Grief is a love word. Grief is a love word. You don't grieve unless you love. You may feel bad. You may get disturbed. But grief is there because of love. We can read an obituary in the newspaper, and we can feel for that family. We can visit that family. We can minister to that family. But we don't grieve as that family does. Because you grieve when somebody you love. And grief is always a love word. And so when we're talking here about grief, not the Holy Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Spirit tonight loves. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit tonight, we're doing something that makes him cry, that grieves him, brings him great sorrow on the inside, as it does with us this evening. That's why only Christians in this particular context can grieve the Spirit of God. Paul talks about many things in chapter number 4. But just look at verse 31. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You see, tonight when we're bitter and angry, gossiping, jealous, that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. I believe one of the greatest griefs the Holy Spirit experiences tonight is when he sees Christians tonight talking and murmuring and about each other tonight. Because you see, he said in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We grieve the Holy Spirit tonight when we bring conflict and confrontation and all of these evil, bitterness and all of that into our lives. That grieves the Holy Spirit. I can't be mad at you, bitter at you, angry at you, and really love you. Can I? See, the D.L. Moody said he had never seen a church blessed where the Holy Spirit was grieved. And he's true tonight. Does it mean we don't have difference of opinion? No, that doesn't mean that. I mean, you know, it doesn't mean tonight that we don't have different personalities. What it means tonight is that we're not bitter and angry with each other. That's the case, we've got a problem. That's the case, we need to get on our knees before the Lord and get all of that taken care of and get all of that tonight be put away from us. Tonight, I decided I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to be angry and speak evil. Always bothers me when people talk about other people, as far as, especially within the church. I heard preachers talk about their church members, and I thought, Lord, have mercy. If I hated them that bad, I wouldn't even go back. I mean, I've seen that, folks. I'm not here just telling you, flapping my gums. And I thought, why? Why? If we're that bitter at each other, we don't need to be together, do we? I can't put that away. Hey, and that grieves the Holy Spirit. And it's hard for the Holy Spirit to work when he's in grief. If you have grief, I mean, when you're really deeply, sincerely having a time of grief, You don't want to do much work, do you? Think about the Holy Spirit tonight. He's grieved in our congregation. He can't do much work. So Paul says our responsibility is not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Then, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he tells us one other thing tonight. Verse 19, he says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Simplest way I know to say that is don't put the fire out. You know? The Holy Spirit tonight burns within our hearts. You know, Jesus, the disciples, said, did not our hearts burn within us? I think sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit. We put the fire out tonight. We're afraid that somebody might see us being a little emotional. They might think bad about us. And we kind of quench that Holy Spirit down tonight. We put the fire out. We need to let the fire burn. We need to let tonight our go. I was reading not long ago, and I forget, I think it was the Glacier National Park. And one of the things they did there for tourists who toured that place was that when it got nightfall, the tourists could come and they say it gets just black dark. And suddenly a park ranger over intercom will say, are you ready? And they'll say, yes. And they got a big, huge pile of wood, and they start a big bonfire. And he ignites that bonfire and lights up the darkness. You know, we're to say tonight, we're ready. Holy Spirit, light the fire. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't put the fire out. I thought about several years ago, I don't know if you ever heard of a Irma Bombeck or not, but she used to write a humorous column in the paper. And she was talking about, she went to church one Sunday and that she noticed the little lady in front of her in the pew had a little girl and said the little girl was laughing and enjoying herself. And she looked over at her and said, don't you laugh, you're in church. We ought to laugh. We ought to be excited to be in church tonight. We're not to quench the Spirit. Let the Spirit just flow. Let the fire burn. Let God tonight flow through us. You see, that's what we can do. We can quench that Spirit. We can put that fire out, but we never want to do that. We don't need to even choke it back. Just let her go tonight. He's important in our lives. We have responsibilities to God. We're to be filled. We're to be controlled by it. We're not to grieve Him. We're not to quench Him tonight. And we're to realize how important the Spirit of God is in our life because Jesus tonight gave Him to us. So tonight, let's go forth from this place. Letting the Holy Spirit control us and determine not to grieve Him or to quench Him tonight, but just let Him go in our life. What a wonderful and awesome God we serve tonight. What a wonderful Savior we have. And what a great gift we have in the Holy Spirit to live within us, to seal us and secure us for all of eternity. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message. Use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In Jesus' sweet name I pray. Amen.